Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. This is a podcast where we discuss books and other forms of media from a Reformed perspective. My name is Camden Busey. I'm here in Grays Lake, Illinois at the Reformed Forum studio, and I have with me Jim Cassidy. He's down in Austin, Texas at a Starbucks. Jim is the pastor of South Austin OPC in South Austin, Texas. Hey, Jim, it's good to see you today.
Hey, Camden. It is a cold day here in Austin.
Like I said, and don't get me started.
As you reminded me earlier today, I shouldn't complain.
Well, I'm not complaining either. I'm just saying it's all relative. You know how it is. If you're talking to somebody, if I were to say it was cold here, it was 20 when I got up in the morning and I went for a 5-mile run. So that was cold. The wind was cold. But look, if someone's in the Yukon Territory, they're going to complain to me that that I thought that was cold. Anyway,
yeah,
it's all relative and whatever you're used
it
to.
Is.
So, you know, I almost forgot that this program exists. I know I'm partially joking because it's been a long time since we've done a Reformed Media Review, and to our shame.
It has.
So, you know, I'm not going to make any promises to the listeners, but I do hope that we could do more of these and do them more frequently, especially with my role as executive director. We could have more time and opportunity, freedom to schedule these. So at least today we're going to be opening up and looking briefly at several different books and providing a bit of a review and an inspection on many of them. But if this is the kind of thing that you would enjoy as a listener, then let us know because we can certainly try to devote more of our time and attention to this. Now, I know me for personally love hearing other people discussing new books that are out there and whether or not I want to spend the time and the money to get them and read them. And it's always helpful to have a friend kind of in the know. Not saying we're always in the know, but at least we can find people that are, bring them on the program and talk about new books. And you can make the decision at home whether that's something you want to look into. So that's our goal here. Sometimes we'll go into depth on this program about the content of the book and have a very detailed and maybe even like a something akin to an audio version of a review article. But we also find that there's value sometimes in just announcing that a book exists and describing it to some end and offering a few thoughts about the basic thesis in that book so that you can make a decision whether you'd like to read it yourself. So Jim, tell us what we have in front of us today because we have a couple interesting titles.
Yeah, so a couple of different volumes here. One of them is Kuyper's Common Grace series, and the other one is a book called Challenging the Spirit of Modernity, and I'm going to start with that latter one first. Both of these are Lexham Press publications and are recent releases. So let me begin, Camden, just with this volume here, as you could see.
Mm-hmm. Challenging the Spirit of Modernity, a study of Groen Van Prinsterer's Unbelief and Revolution. It's written by Harry Van Dyke, just to let the listeners know.
Very good. So, yeah, I showed a picture to the video, but yeah, very good for the listener. Camden, this is part of the Studies in Historical and Systematic Theology series that Lexham Press has been doing. I believe that the first volume in that series was the one on B.B. Warfield by Riddleberger. Check that series out. The second volume, I forget the title of the second volume, but the third volume in that set was,
here it comes.
Was my book. was the one on Bart. And this one is like the fourth or the fifth in the series.
Right. So
and
basically, Jim wanted to resurrect Reformed Media Review so that he can talk about his book from Lexham Press.
Yeah. This book, Challenging the Spirit of Modernity. Forget that one. Let me talk about me for a while. No. Van Dyke's volume here is actually a second edition. The first edition was published by someone else, not Lexham, and I don't know who the original publisher was, but 30 years ago, this was published, and I believe that it was was Van Dyke's dissertation that he wrote. Oh, and it's a study of a book, actually, and Groen Van Prinsterer's book, Unbelief and Revolution, which was written around the midpoint of the 19th century at the end, was published, I think, in 1847, was a series of lectures that Van Prinster did. And it's during a particular time in the history of Holland, a tumultuous time in the history of Holland. And anyway...
Well, the offscouting was right around there, wasn't it? Go ahead. The offscouting, wasn't that right around that time period?
Yeah, but it's more than just the church struggles.
Yeah.
It's also cultural and political upheaval as well in Holland. But anyway, so Van Prinster was actually a mentor of sorts to Kuyper, and inspired, and this book particularly inspired Kuyper very much in the formation of sort of his overall programmatic view of theology, culture, education, etc. So this particular volume is very attractive. It's the cover is nice, smooth kind of paperback, pleasant to hold. The print is very, very good. And as you look at the table of contents, it's really a historical theology. There's a bit in there about the background, what's going on politically, what's going on spiritually in Holland, a little bit about Van Prinster himself. And then he gets into the lectures and the historical context of the lectures, why the lectures were given, and then the significance for the history of the Netherlands and the church in the Netherlands afterwards. So anyway, that's the one volume, and recommend picking that up and checking that out.
That is available real quick, lexhampress.com. Mm-hmm, sure. That's LEXHAMPRESS.com. They have that available for download for $17.99. The print edition is $25.99. I don't know if you might be able to find a combo or if the print includes the digital. I don't think it does. But those are the two at least list prices, and you can get them straight from the publisher there.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yep. And also then by Lexham Press, which is just, they seem to have hit their stride. I mean, they're just pumping out books left and right now. But anyway, the next is the first volume in the Collected Works in Public Theology of Abraham Kuyper, the first volume of Common Grace. This is going to be three volumes. I believe the first two volumes are out currently.
I've got both the two, one and two. Yeah, they're massive, just massive.
And yeah, it's massive. These are, you know, very interesting. These are just rich. I don't agree with everything that Kuyper says here, but you'll at least get introduced to a lot of the issues surrounding Common Grace. It's a lot of exposition of the early chapters of the book of Genesis, particularly the Noahic covenant and the way in which the Noahic covenant informs the doctrine of Common Grace. There is, let me just go through here. The translation is, I mean, I don't know Dutch, and so I can't speak to the issue of the accuracy of the translation, but the translation itself reads very, very well, very, very clearly. This is edited by Jordan Baller and Stephen Graybill and translated by Nelson Klosterman. So the introduction by Richard Klosterman, thank you.
Get that Dutch
Richard
right.
Mao.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Richard Mao writes an introduction that's really good. It's worth the price of the book for the introduction itself. You hear that a lot.
Yeah.
I know, but it's true in this case. He does a really good job of introducing us to Kuyper and his doctrine of Common Grace. So again, I'm just showing here the first volume. There's a second volume, and there are other volumes that are out and are continuing to come out in Kuyper's collection of works in public theology. What's really interesting about Kuyper's work in public theology, and particularly the Common Grace volume, is very different than I expected. These are kind of like small articles that he writes for lay people. And so it's very accessible. He avoids technical discussions and intricate kind of debates or anything like that. He lays the issues out very clearly without a whole lot of footnoting and getting into technicalities and such. So it's the type of volume that a layperson pick up and read and be edified by and helped by and all of that. So anyway, recommend those and recommend going out picking them up. They're beautiful volumes, well-crafted, really well Lexham is doing a really nice job of presenting their new published works.
Yeah, I mean, I have several of the volumes looking over my shoulder. Let's see, I've got one on the church. I know I also have Our Program. I really am interested in that one. I need to read the rest of it. I just started reading it. I had to do some other things, so it's been a while since I picked it back up. But he really deals with some interesting subjects, and agree or disagree with him, but he was definitely someone who sought to be consistent in his Christian worldview and outlook. And he was trying to apply the truths of Scripture and this Reformed perspective to all areas of life. So Our Program is quite interesting because he gets into all sorts of political, social issues and governmental issues and trying to understand, well, how would we think about this most consistently from a Christian worldview? And how might we organize or even reform society along these lines? So I find him to be tremendously thoughtful. And again, you might not always agree with his conclusions, of course, but I find his writing compelling and his thought process, most of all, is I think some of the most interesting. So these books are all tremendous. They're all good. They're massive. You can get them as the digital download. And I think there's a lot of value in that, especially if you use Logos regularly, just to have that, because you can also search and you can browse things in that regard. And the books are good. I bought the hardcovers, but I do find I have a little bit of regret. I like having books on my shelf, and I know I have them, and they're not tied to a software program. But I do kind of wish I had the digital, because they're almost too big. They're kind of unwieldy, and that's not Lexham's fault. What else are you going to do? I mean, this is how you publish a giant book like that. It has to be in a bigger volume. The typesetting is roughly, as far as my eye can tell, the type is the same as on the screen. It's the same type, the same font. And the paper is more of a kind of like a little more of a mass paper, I guess. I don't get the right. It's more, feels a little bit more like an economical paper. So that's my tiny little knock. I'm very thankful. I love these books. I bought them myself, and I'm very thankful to have these and this tremendous content. But on some of these, I think if I get more of the editions, I might end up buying the digital ones, just so people can take my thoughts, my two cents, and do what they will with it. But
it's helpful, two cents. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, maybe all it's worth, but it's still helpful. Yeah.
And you save a few dollars getting the digital one too, because you don't have to ship that giant thing to you. But the other reason I say that is I've mentioned this on the program before, but I use Logos's powerful features for daily reading plans. So I've got to find something to do for 2020, because in 2019, I've been reading Calvin's Institutes again. And I go in there and I just say, I want to read all of Institutes. I want to read it starting January 1, 2019, finishing December 31st, 2019. And I only want to read on weekdays. But you can go and customize whatever plan you want, and then it will break the work up into the appropriate segments so that you can work through something. And then every day I get up and I read my Bible, and then I read whatever work I'm working through. So I've read all of Hodge this way. I've read the Muller's set, the Post-Reformation Reform Dogmatics. I've read significant portions of Bovink. You know, I would like to just dump Kuyper in there, because the books are so big. Sometimes if you don't just chop them up and address them piece by piece every day, it becomes something that either you get tired of because it's taking too much time and you have other books you need to read, or you just kind of start it like I did with Our Program and you kind of get busy with other things and don't ever come back to it. So for what that's worth, I think having the feature in Logos where you can do your daily reading plan, that's another way to get through some of these massive volumes in a way where, as long as you're just checking the boxes every day, you're going to get through it and you'll be better for it as a result. So
Yeah, very good. That was helpful.
Good. So, Jim, you have any other things on your to-read list? Maybe give people an update about the things you're currently reading or would like to read in the very near future?
So, I went back to God, Heaven, and Armageddon by Klein again, and that's just been just a very rich experience. If our listeners haven't had the opportunity, just go ahead, pick it up and read it. Interesting fact, that volume does not have a scripture index in it, which is kind of frustrating, but an index has been developed for that. A scripture index has been developed for that book. I have a PDF version of it. You may as well, Camden. So just encourage our listeners, if you would like a PDF of that index, that scripture index, let us know and we can email that to you. It's the type of thing where if you're, you put it on your shelf, and if you're preaching through, I don't know, the book of Revelation, you want to see what Klein has to say about the book of Revelation in that volume. And he says a lot about the book of Revelation or Daniel or something like that. You could just go to that scripture index, find, you know, see if he talks about the passage you're preaching on and gain his insights. Now that's not the, you know, the primary use for it. Primarily, you should pick it up, read it from front
of course
to back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then keep it on your shelf as a go-to resource to help you in your
right
exposition of the text. So very, very good. Also working through, of course, keeping up with my Bart, working through Church Dogmatics 2:1 again, particularly the section on the being of God. And just, you know, as you guys know, with these experiences, the more you come back to texts again and again, it just new stuff pops out at you. And so anyway, so I'm seeing new stuff. I'm working on something on Karl Barth's Doctrine of God. Particularly, I want to bring him into conversation with Van Til and Van Til's critique of Karl Barth. So that's a part of a larger project that I'm working on.
Oh, that sounds great. I appreciate that, Jim. Of course, as time rolls along, we'll try to capture more of those conversations about these books after we read them and are able to think through them. But until the meantime, or in the meantime, I should say, and until next time, pick up and read Tola Legge. Thanks so much for listening.